Oh, that's right. We are right here, Sharp Facets Gallery, and boy, do I have a treat for you. It's a double interview afternoon. In fact, I have Curtis Loftus. He is the state treasurer for the state of South Carolina. And Curtis, how are you doing today?
I am doing very well. How about yourself?
Very good. Very good. How was your trip up here?
Oh, it's a beautiful trip. It's one of the prettiest drives, I think, in the state. You ride through those beautiful fields that are tended with the cattle in the field. The houses are kept up. It's just a nice ride. I always wish that I had more time so I could get out and, you know, walk the fields, talk to farmers, the whole
thing. Now, you like to hunt, too.
Yeah, I do, but, you know, I didn't even take my guns out of the closet this year. I stay pretty busy with my little treasurer's job.
So you're now keeping your guns in your closet, right?
Yeah, well, under the bed, in the closet, yeah, all sorts of places. The one place they aren't is in the back of the truck going hunting.
Yeah, that's a shame, isn't it?
I'll have to do better this year.
Yeah. Well, you are up for re-election.
I am. June the 10th is the primary.
And you have a primary challenger.
That's right. I have a primary challenger. I do not have a Democrat, so I just have to get through the 10th of June, mm-hmm. and then I'm back to work.
Back to work. So, you know, as you look back over the last 4 years of being treasurer, I mean, you've been in the news a lot, Curtis. You have stirred things up. You have made people mad, I guess we could say.
You know, it's just a handful of people. You know, really, as I sit here now, if 10 people went away, most of my problems would go away. But when you affect truly important people, who have power, and they get that power because they have your money and they have the ability to affect your rights and privileges, then they get upset and they have their hands on the levers of power and they're mad at me, but I don't care. I'm not confused. I know who I work for. I work for the truck drivers and the jewelry store owners and the radio people and the pest control operators and the teachers of Greenwood. I don't work for a handful of rich old white men in Columbia.
Wow, that sounds like an accusation.
Well, that's just how I feel about it. And sister, I'm gonna tell you, the campaign's less than 3 weeks away, and I had the same feeling before the last election. If I'm gonna do it, I might just as well be as honest as I can be and tell the truth. And if the people like it, they'll vote for me. If they don't, they won't. But in any instance, they'll be happy, and I'll be happy.
Well, I know when you first came into office, one of the first things you did was you started auditing everything so you'd have a baseline on what the treasurer's office, where it was and where it was going and everything. I know you spent a lot of time making things more better, more streamlined. You investigated a lot of the banking and the investments that that the state had and everything, and this was difficult.
It was. You know, when I came to the treasurer's office, it had not had a gap audit in 28 years. 28 years. Think about that. And, of course,
that's a long time ago.
It's a treasurer's office. That's right. I mean, you have an employee here. She's not 28.
Yeah, that's right.
So when you look at something like that, I mean, it's amazing. It's like you leave your business with some high schoolers and come back 10 years later. The staff at the treasurer's office is very good. I mean, they're qualified people, they're nice people, they're hardworking people, they're your neighbors. But leadership has been terrible. And also, there's just not much of an imperative in state government to do things well. So I came in, I said, well, there's not an audit, we've got to fix that. So not only did we have our first audit, we're almost through with our second audit, and we did a performance audit, too. A performance audit, and I don't want to get too boring about all this, but that's one where they come in, they sit down by your desk and say, what do you do, and how do you do it? And so we go through that, and, you know, finance is complex. So that took care of itself. So we learned a lot. We're still changing things, but the office is so much better. When I came, we had one CPA. Mm-hmm. Now we have eight. We had one lawyer, and he only worked about half-time on law. Now we have three lawyers, or maybe four.
Oh, you must be spending a lot more money then.
No, we're not. What we have is we've had a fair amount of retirements, and when people stay a long time in state government, they make a lot of money, even though they may not have the qualifications on paper. So we were able to hire people in. We spent a little bit more money. My entire budget is under $7 million, and we manage $24 billion of state dollars. We manage a $29 billion trust account. We invest $12.5 billion. So the percentage is just nothing. So it's right. If you ask somebody like Warren Buffett or Bill Gates, how do you protect your money? How many CPAs do you have? I can assure you that they have more than one. So sometimes you have to spend for things. And the budget didn't go up much. It went up just a little bit. But I don't mind coming out as a Republican and a conservative saying that every time we spend a dollar in the treasurer's office, the taxpayer saves. I mean, it's amazing. We renew contracts, and again, I don't want to get too boring with all this, but we renew contracts that are in the billions of dollars, and it can be a foot thick.
You're talking about.
Yeah. And so do you want one lawyer who's got part-time to do that, or do you want teams of people who can get on it and understand it? Because in this world, how you read a comma or how many decimal points get put behind something means a lot of money. So sure. It's my job to protect y'all's money, and we've done a great job.
And you also have spent a lot of time on the retirement funds.
That's
and
right, the investment commission.
I would say that was a mess there for a while.
It was a huge mess. It still is not where it needs to be. But, you know, in politics, like in life, how much can you get? Where I have sole control of something, I can expect a whole lot more. But I'm one commissioner out of six, and we have fought the hard fight. When I went to there, this is at the investment commission.
Right.
Yeah. And for those who don't know, the investment commission has about $29 billion, and that's with a B, dollars. And they manage all the retirement system for the state employees, the county employees, the city employees, the school teachers. I mean, half the people riding around out there are related to somebody who's in the system if they're not in it themselves. It's about 429,000 people, I think.
Who
are retired or going to be retired. And so there's a lot of people in that system. So it's important. And also the sum of money. Now, I'll bet you, even though we've been talking about it for a long time, nobody here can name who's on that commission. Most people never heard of it. And so that's what you have.
Well, they do. They know you, Curtis.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, $29 billion and no oversight. Now, who out there could not be tempted? And I want to be a little bit careful here, but when I started finding problems, I thought, well, okay, we'll fix these problems. We have smart people. We'll fix them. We'll just go talk to them. It doesn't work. When people have control of large sums of money, especially other people's money, if you say, pretty please, would you do this? They're not going to do it. We didn't have internal auditors. We didn't have compliance officers. We didn't have insider trading policies. We didn't have any of the basic conflict of interest, any of the basic stuff you have to run a fund. If it were a bank, it would have been shut down the day I showed up. If it were a savings and loan or a credit union, it would have been shut down the day I showed up. It is a lot better, but it is only better because I put them on the front page of the paper. And that's not a one-way street. They fight back, and they fight dirty, and it is hard work. And there's not a day in my life that I don't get attacked because I try to protect the people's money. What do I get out of it? I don't get anything. What do they get out of it? They have $29 billion, and they have total control.
And this had to do with the amount of money that was being made off of it, the interest,
right,
and plus any perks or anything that was involved with it.
Think if you're talking to your broker, and your broker says, well, I'm in the bottom 20%. Your money, of all the people out there, 80% of the people made more than you did. Well, you're not going to feel good about that.
That's true.
And then you find out that you're in the top place in fees. So you're in the bottom 20% in returns and the top in fees. Let me throw a number at you. You don't have to be a finance person to know this number. $427.5 million. That's the amount of money we paid Wall Street in fees to manage our money.
I bet Wall Street really likes us then.
Wall Street loves us. The private jets line up in Columbia. We're like some kid at the buffet. Hey, I want one of these and one of that. One of these and one of those. If it was shiny and new, we bought it. And the only thing you know for sure about these new investments is that you pay fees. And so the people of Wall Street are getting $1.6 million a workday. They're getting $202,000 an hour in fees. I want you to think about that.
I am thinking about that. But Curtis, you got a lot of trouble because you wouldn't sign off on this.
I know. And listen, it is personal. It is awful. I'm in the middle of a nasty campaign where they attack me about all sorts of stuff. And, you know, this is politics. I'm a public person by law. People can say just about anything you want to about me. And unless I can prove a conspiracy, which is, you know, it's almost impossible to do, you just have to put up with it. And so, you know, tomorrow, if they put out that I'm eating puppies for breakfast, well, that's what they say. There's nothing I can do about it.
Well, now that you've said this on the radio, they probably will put that out, Curtis.
Listen, if that's the worst thing they say, it'll be a good day for me. But, you know, we were talking off air, and you said, what's the most significant thing, I think is the way you phrased it, that you've learned? Government is run by people, right? Mm-hmm. And 95% of the people who work in government are good and honest. They don't want a penny from you. They want to work hard. They like serving. But there's a handful of elites, and it is corrupt. It is cronyism. It is unbridled power. Nobody will stand up to them. I've been in rooms where someone will stand up and tell a lie, and everybody in the room knows it's not true but me. And then when I find out about it 6 months later, they say, we thought you knew. I mean, it's not that there are people in this world who are not truthful. We all know that. The shocking thing is how many people will watch an untruth be told and say nothing. I had one of the most important people in this state the other day say to me, I had no idea, after as long as I've been in state government, I had no idea, Curtis, that what you were saying was true and that there is as much skullduggery that goes on and the large pots of money until recently. You know, what do you read about in the paper? You read about, oh, somebody's using their cell phone or somebody used their car an extra 1,000 miles. Well, I don't care about those little things. I mean, people shouldn't do what we have laws.
Sure.
But it's the huge pots of money that people have never heard of. Money is shuttled around from organization to organization. They call it park and play. Powerful people park money in an organization or an agency, and then they play with the money later on after the eyes are off of it. It goes under one to one organization, gets shifted to another, and then ends up being spent by a third.
You know, Curtis, these sound like a lot of accusations, and you know, you're right down here to the primary here. Where are you going with this?
Well, every day we fight it. Every day. We just had a huge audit, $739,000, I think it was.
That's how much it cost?
Yeah, that's what the cost for the investment commission, $450 an hour for these people. And they worked about 3 months, and that's what we had to pay. They had hundreds of process improvements for the investment commission. Now, people ride around and say, well, hundreds of process improvements. What does that mean? Well, let's take it down to the local level. Say you're running a 7-Eleven. A process improvement would be a lock on the cash register. It would be, this is what I mean. When I say that you don't have internal auditors for a $29 billion fund, and that is unheard of. It is unparalleled. You can't find anybody else like that. It is really like going to the pantry and you just have a bowl of money. You put in what you think you owe and you take out your own change. That's what that really means. And so
a lot. Are you going to be able to prove this?
The Funston audit has already said we're right. Funston had literally over 100 process improvement changes. But you see, it's not against the law not to have internal auditors. It's not against the law not to have compliance officers. It's not against the law to not do things. You see, it's against the law to go into the 7-Eleven with a gun and take the money.
Right.
It's not against the law for somebody just to throw the money in the wind and let people have it. You see, so that's what you're looking at. So when they say, well, you don't have the proper accounting and reporting, which they said that. It's more than just, oh, we need another accountant. It means, what happened with all that? When this money was not protected, what happened to that money? And of course, what they say is, well, no one's found any criminal behavior. Well, it's because no one's been asked for criminal behavior. We don't issue subpoenas in South Carolina, it's a normal course, and we don't ask for sworn testimony. So if you walk
is that normal?
No, only in South Carolina.
I just thought I'd ask,
I mean,
Curtis.
It's crazy. Right now, this is the first time I've talked about this. This is news. In South Carolina State, the Inspector General has been down there 6 months.
Correct.
And as I understand it, even though he has the ability to compel sworn testimony and issue subpoenas, he has not done so. We sent emails off yesterday and hadn't heard a response because I want to confirm that, so I've got to be a little bit careful. But it's mind-boggling. The state's looking at anywhere between $13 and $20 million that we're going to have to make up because it has just gone away, and we don't issue subpoenas and have sworn testimony. That's the average person doesn't get it. They'll say, well, there was an investigation. There was an audit. We've had audits down there for years. Nobody reads the audits. And also, I can't really speak to the quality of the audit because the couple of people who did read the audit didn't get anything out of it. But why do we hear about this after the fact? And you know why? Because the people of Greenwood weren't consulted. You're going to have to pay your share. But you had no say. I don't have any doubt if we put it to a vote in Greenwood that our audits ought to be thorough and they ought to have to be read by a person of responsibility. That everybody in the county would say yes. Who wouldn't say yes?
Sure.
It'd be the people in the penitentiary. That's who would say no. But we don't do that in South Carolina. And I ran under the campaign that we needed tougher audits and we needed somebody responsible to follow up on them. And they have thwarted me at every opportunity. We still have not gotten a permanent state auditor. We have a guy who's been the interim for 7 years. Now, have you ever heard of
an interim for 7 years?
Think about this. We have an interim auditor for 7 years. That means his bosses don't back him enough for him to make tough decisions. His job is not secure and firm. So, you know, we underfund our ethics commission. We underfund...
We really don't want an ethics commission,
exactly.
Do we?
Exactly. That's the common theme. And this is what I'm talking about. And this is why with the voters, I'm popular. With the taxpayers, I'm popular. But with the powerful elite in Columbia, I'm not. We underfund our ethics commission. We underfund our inspector general. We underfund our state auditor. We don't have the proper laws. Nobody follows up. Is there a pattern? Of course there is. When we have the ability to have someone sit in front of us and ask them questions under oath where they would go to jail if they committed an act of perjury, we don't do it. And we're surprised that we never catch anybody doing anything wrong. Well, people who steal will lie.
I think that kind of goes hand in hand. And
you think that, but I'll tell you, inside the four blocks of the State House, you would be the only person besides me who believes that. And I apologize for getting animated about this, but what you do for the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you do for me, and we allow large sums of money to be completely unprotected, and we tell the people they are protected, but they're not. Our system of audits is like high school. It ought not to exist, but the only reason we have audits is so they can say, oh, Mr. Treasurer, if only you understood, we audited that fund. They don't tell you they audited 10 years ago or 5 years ago, and they don't tell you they audited only parts of it, and they don't tell you that it wasn't clean.
I have a good story to share with you. I had an employee once upon a time. I've had many employees, but this one employee, I would ask her, did you call so-and-so? And she would say yes, and that would be the answer.
Yeah.
The second part of the question was, did you talk to her? And once I learned to make sure I asked the second question, I was okay. But up to that point, she just told me yes. She called him.
I ask questions, and I ask a lot of questions because I want the answers. And as a constitutional officer who's the state's banker, it's my job to follow up. And I can't tell you how many times I've gotten questions that were inaccurate, purposely so, drag their feet, won't give us the information. They'll do anything they can. And the treasurer's office only has 60 employees. It's a small staff because we write 1.2 million checks a year. I mean, we're pretty busy.
Right.
So I don't have tons of people. I've been working 70 hours a week. I like my work, but I can't keep it up. And they know that. And that's what they try to do.
Try to wear you down.
You know, we're a little bit far flung here, but let me say this. I am happy if the people hear my message and they say, we don't want this guy. I got other stuff I can do. I love my job. I love the ability to travel around the state. I love the ability to serve these people. But the people aren't happy. I can go do something else. This is not my life. This is not who I am. I didn't run so I could make my salary and be called Mr. Treasurer. There's more to it. But we do not protect the people's money. Little pots of money, they're fine because everybody can understand them. But the big pots of money, and you've never even heard of them. There are pots of money that you don't have any idea that exist and that we can't get accounting on. I started plundering around with looking at some different state agencies. Can't get into their books. Can't see where they write the checks. They get these provisions that they get confidentiality. At the Investment Commission, we have tens of billions of dollars that all of the information is confidential from the people whose money it is, which is you.
That doesn't sound like transparency to me.
No, it's no transparency. And they're beating me over the death over some little thing that nobody's interested in. because it's a political point. But I always come back to, it's the people of Greenwood's money. It is not my money. I work for y'all. I don't get confused. They're confused at the Investment Commission. They think they work for Wall Street. They want to be that way. You ever seen a teenager around a pro football star? Teenager, I'll wash your car. What can I do for you? Want me to run and get you a hamburger?
Exactly.
I mean, it's idol worship. Well, in the investing community, the finance community, they love professional investors. I mean, they feel the same way about Warren Buffett and the hedge fund guys as people feel about Clowney and Sammy Watkins. So it's just perverse world. But we're kept out of it. They say, well, they can watch our meetings online. Our meetings are 9 hours long, and you wouldn't understand 7 words of it. It's all been done ahead of time. And it's all just gobbledygook, and just, you're not going to learn anything by watching those
meetings.
Well,
what are they getting out of it?
They get,
according to what you're telling us, what do they get out of it? Are they taking our money?
Well, they get power, they get control, and which is, for a lot of people, that's what they're interested in. Because these are not poor people when they come here. They get power, they get control. I don't know what else they get because I can't get into the books. But I will tell you this, former chief investment officer, who I kind of ran off, was flying back and forth to Bermuda on a guy worth $10 billion jet. Well, how I know this is because we invested money in him. So we invest money in, our chief investment officer invests your money, and then he's hanging out in Bermuda by private jets, staying in luxury hotels and private homes, and not disclosing any of it. Now, when's the last time you or anybody in Greenwood took a private jet, went to Bermuda, and came back and didn't cost you a nickel?
Can't remember that time, Curtis.
So there are lots of benefits.
Oh,
Reynolds,
so
Williams,
oh,
we're getting close. Reynolds, yeah. Williams, the chairman, I did one deep dive on one deal, and he and his law firm made $115,000 off of one deal. And that was the legal work that I could find. I don't know what else was. Then the Ethics Commission, as weak as they are, said to him that you had the appearance of impropriety, don't do it again. Now, in my book, that's a death sentence anywhere else, right?
Exactly.
That's a hanging offense. They're getting the rope and the horse. Whatever people think about Washington, D.C., mm-hmm. about it not being trustful, about there's a whole different world and set of morals, it is the same in Columbia. There are a lot of good people. Y'all have them here. People like Billy O'Dell and all. They stand up every day. But there's not enough of them. And also, the rank-and-file senator, the rank-and-file House representative, and y'all have a good delegation right down here. They're not in that little clique, because the clique is much smaller. The clique is one or two, or three or four or five, that type of thing, in each house.
Wow. I tell you what, we're going to hear a quick word from our sponsors and be right back. Don't you go away. We do have Curtis Loftus, state treasurer, right here with us. And he's fired up, we could say. All right, we'll be right back.
Gold, gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Oh, that's right. We're back here with the one and only Curtis Loftus. You know, Curtis, one of the things that I always enjoy talking to you, whether you call in during the year or whether it's sitting down across the table from you here, you know, you always, I believe, tell it like it is.
I try to.
And I think that that's one of the things that, even though it's tough to do that, it certainly would be a lot easier to say nothing, wouldn't it?
It is, and I know that most politicians come on and they tell you how great everything is and how smart they are, and I don't want to tell people that. I mean, I can go tell myself that. I don't need to do that, you know, and I can do it in a better climate, you know. It's all about how we improve our lives. I mean, this is, again, what you do for the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you do for me. It's our service, and we shouldn't be just out there saying, hey, everything's perfect. We need to fix it. And there are certain problems that you can't fix without public knowledge, and we've got to raise the knowledge on how we handle our money. I've got some kind of cool things going on. I've got one group, or actually I've got two, but one has started. I've got them doing a deep dive, we call it, and they're going to take one section of the law. In fact, it's the gas tax section of the law.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to rip that law apart, diagram it out, and see exactly what goes on. What they want to do is see how much money comes from each county, how much money stays with the state, how much money goes back to the counties, how much money is spent on roads, how much gets diverted to other things like administration or bicycle paths or 501c3s doing seatbelt ads. I mean, they want to know, where does all that money go? Because our roads are crumbling.
We have
a really bad shape in roads.
And I haven't seen a lot of work going on the roads.
Well, there's not much money.
Well, come on. They put all that money aside last year,
well,
Curtis.
Well, it takes years to get those projects started. And see, that's
see,
one.
That's a problem, and that's bull. They got the money there. Why not get the projects? They should have already known what projects they wanted to fund.
Well, see, that's the problem with having an irregular funding mechanism. What we do in South Carolina is instead of having, say, a regular funding mechanism that is adequate, we lump it together. And, you know, you can spend millions and millions of dollars on engineering and right-of-way, but then not have the money. So you're going to get really criticized. So they spent $75 million on that road they never built yet because they're waiting on the money. So it's complex. I don't want to take away from the fact that it's all complicated. But we got to do better. And what this
we
group,
had a bridge that crumbled the other
yeah,
day.
Yeah, and we're going to have more. And I-26, which I'm on a lot, especially going south, is just awful. If it rains at all, if we're going to Charleston or if we're going to Hilton Head, we will usually get off the highway and ride the back roads. It's quicker and a whole lot less stressful. But the roads just aren't good. They're just packed all the time. We sometimes will come home at 1 o'clock at night or leave at, say, 5 in the morning so we can get these other places, and the roads are packed. So we just got to know that. So how do we do it? Nobody wants to pay new taxes, more taxes, and I don't want to pay more taxes either. So we got to figure out a way to spend more money on core functions. And, of course, highways are a core function. We have to take money from other places.
That's one of the things that is supposed to be taken care of. Right.
But we do so many things. And so what this group is going to do, because not all of the gas tax goes for roads. It gets split away for a lot of different things. And what you find is you hear that court fines go to keep up the Criminal Justice Academy. Well, that's partly true. But it goes to keep up a lot of other things as well. So what we're going to start doing is getting responsible groups and say, here, I don't have the staff for this, but I want you to take this apart. We'll support you. I want diagrams. I want percentages. I want somebody, you know, get a nifty computer program out there so that the average person can see we paid X in gas tax, and this is how much actually got to a road. Because it's only when we get that kind of knowledge that the people will say something. Because the people don't have enough knowledge. They get told, oh, there's a gas tax, or oh, there's this, that, and the other. Just because it's got a name doesn't mean it has anything to do with it.
Yeah. Well, I thought when we put aside, what was it, $5 billion? Was it billion?
It was $500 million last year.
Okay.
And what that was it wasn't actually $500 million. It was $50 million a year in debt service. And so we hadn't borrowed that money yet, because we don't want to borrow it before we have to use it. So these things, they're all been mapped out, and it's a lot of work. But I know what you're saying. It's frustrating. The reason it's like it is because we've not had a mature look at roads or the rest of state government, because everybody's afraid. We'll have to raise some taxes, but hopefully we lower other taxes. There ought to be offsets. You know, I believe in small government. But, you know, say if gas tax had to go up, and I'm not saying it should because we've got to make that determination, but then there should be an offset maybe on something else. So there's ways we can do it. I think this year we had an extra $500 million that we didn't have last year.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to spend every penny of it, and they're talking about more debt. So what we've got to do is have the folks really pay attention. And we've got to just look for fraud, waste, and abuse, and look for non-core projects. People can do for themselves. This is not the old days. You know, we can do for ourselves a lot of things now.
Well, we can, but we can't really do the roads.
That's right. Oh, yeah. That's the core function.
Yeah.
Law enforcement, healthcare, those types of things, core functions. Government, education ought to be a county function, and mostly is now, but the federal government tells us what to do. They tell us, somebody told me they're about 7% of our money, but they're 97% of our rules.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. And from a businessman perspective, I'd get rid of the 7%, that's for sure.
Yeah, exactly. So what other things? You've been, I know that on a positive note here, Curtis, that you've been helping people find money, unclaimed money, because at the treasurer's office has that.
We have lots of good and positive stories, fun stories, things that good things going on in state government all over the place. Lots of them. But I don't need to tell you about most of those. I will brag on my office because my office is great. They got good staff. Unclaimed property. The most important thing about that is that people riding around Greenwood right now, they have money. They all think they don't. The state treasury has $418 million. Think about that. $418 million of your money. Businesses, families, estates, all sorts of things are due money. It can be anything from an old water deposit or a cable bill from college. It could be a payroll check or a commission check for some reason you never got. It could be Aunt Willie died, and she left the money to Cousin Fred, but Cousin Fred died too. So guess what? You're due the money. And people say, that couldn't happen to me. Well, last week I was working on some unclaimed property. I like to get involved with some of them because I can do it in the middle of the night. It's the kind of thing I can Google and track people down, and you know, I don't have to be at work. It took me 4 phone calls, but I finally found this family in the lower part of Horry County, and they're due $138,000.
Wow.
They didn't know what was coming. We gave a lady we didn't give it to her. We returned to her, I think it's $277,000, her own money. She didn't know she had it.
Now, does this money gain interest, or is this just the dollar value that
it's just the dollar. Now, if it's something like stocks, which we have stocks too. Mm-hmm. If it's something like stocks, that will, because we have, State Treasurer maintains a significant brokerage account. I believe mm-hmm. it's at Wells Fargo now. They have, I don't know, $80 million worth of stocks. And it's pooled. It's all sorts of people's.
Mm-hmm.
So if you had stock that you didn't know, maybe you inherited, it goes there, it sits there, and that will gain interest and all. But the rest of it doesn't. Here's what happens. The money after a certain period, the unclaimed property, has to come to the state. It comes to us. We keep enough to pay our bills at the treasurer's office, the unclaimed property bills, which is, money comes in every day, and then people are finding money every day, so we pay it out. But we know there's a percentage that we're never going to find mm-hmm. or probably not going to find. And so that goes over to the General Assembly. They spend it. They can do what they want to as long as it's legal. It's their wisdom.
That's found money.
Yeah. But if I need it, I get to reclaim it. State Treasurer's Office has a claim on that money. So if we give them, say, every year we give them extra money that we have. And say we give them, and we need $10 million back or $50 million back. Doesn't matter. I just make a request. And we take it out of the state's excess funds. So it's a good system. The state gets to use the money, and if nobody ever claims it, the state got a purpose out of it.
Sure.
But I love it. We spend a lot of time. We were in Myrtle Beach last night. We did 2 hours on the local news. It's like a telephone. And the phones rang off the hook. People were calling. One of the people that we called a little bit earlier, she had already gotten her money back. And if you go to my website, you can see it. She said the money was heaven sent. She said, I think the Lord sent it to me, because as soon as I got that money, my stove and my hot water heater broke. And I can fix it. Yeah, I know. I thought, well, there you go.
Exactly.
And so, South Carolina's a working place. You know, rich people, I don't worry too much about. They'll take care of themselves. But the working people, the average people, this is a way for them to find money. And there are, I think it's 380,000 people who are due money.
380,000
yeah.
people. Now, how can somebody go on and check?
It's easy as pie. If you go to the state treasurer's website, which is www.treasurer.sc.gov, or you can just Google South Carolina State Treasurer. It'll pop right up. Go to unclaimed property. And once you get there, there's just a little blank, and you put your name in there. You know, it says put your name in. So you put in Ann. And then say that you used to be Ann Smith. You put that in.
Mm-hmm.
And then remember your mom's name. Put in anybody you know and your friends. And I had a woman tell me the other day, I put my landlord in and got him $1,000. I said to her, well, you probably got free rent. She said, no, it doesn't work that way. I still had to pay my rent. But, the point is that it's a good call to make. Dad's 84, Mama's 80. They sit there. Daddy's got a laptop. She gives him the names. He looks them up. They make the calls. They call people they haven't seen since they were graduates of the Chapman High School class of 56 in Inman, South Carolina.
Wow.
So, it's a lot of fun.
Well, that's a good news. Now, I know that you did have some health scares. I'm going to say health scares when February, March, maybe last year?
It was right now, last year. In fact, it was May the 29th, because when we were having our May 29th, I was in the hospital.
So how are you doing now?
It's better. I'm looking forward to get the primary behind me, because since I've been in office, I've been working a lot. I'm not complaining. I love my job, but it has been kind of a 70-hour-a-week deal.
I think, Curtis, you're the type of person, though, you overturn one stone, and that makes you overturn the next stone.
Yeah.
You don't want to stop there, and so that fires you on to keep going.
Well, it's self-induced. Like I said, I'm not complaining. But here's the other thing. If you're a reform politician, and, I don't know. I'm sure there's another reform politician in South Carolina. I just can't think of any. I mean, everybody talks about it. But if you do it, your political lifespan is not that long. I made sure to tell all my close friends and family that, I might just make it through one term, because I intend to make the rich and powerful mad at me. And I have. So, assuming I get through the next this 3 weeks in June the 10th, and things look good. I mean, I'm way up in the polls and all that, so things look good. But you never know what's going to happen the last 2 weeks. Nasty politics is becoming an art and a science. It wasn't something people used to play with. They study it. It's high tech. It's awful. You just have to live through it. But over the next 4 years, I can't work the kind of hours. I mean, I got to take better care of myself. So, I want to go back to a kind of a normal period of time. When I came into the office, I was in the best shape of my life. I was 50 years old. I was out climbing mountains. Now I can't climb the steps.
but you told me when you had some of this problem that you were going to start taking care of yourself now, Curtis.
Well, I've tried. But there's just, I got them chasing me. I got a lot of balls in the air. And there's certain things you just have to do when the time is there. And, every adult has had times in their lives where they just have to see something through. And, especially mothers. I mean, there are times where, whether you want to or not, you've got to go to work and get up and feed that baby. So, I mean, there are times when everybody has to do things. And I'm fortunate. I think sometimes, oh, poor, pitiful Curtis, he's working so much. And then I think about the young single mother, say, with three kids, or a young couple starting a business and they got two kids and they're trying to make ends meet in an economy that ain't great. I get to choose what I do. So I don't ever want anybody to feel sorry for me. But I am going to try to ease up a little bit. And like I was talking earlier, getting other groups to do things. We've got to get more citizen involvement. I need to find a good group here, a Rotary Club, a Lions Club, something down here, who would take some small but very important part of state government and study it. Because if you count on the government people to study it, you won't get the answers you want or you think you should. You know what we pay consultants? The last consultant I dealt with, we paid $450 an hour.
Wow.
And that was when they were traveling, and that was when they were home. And I think by looking at the amount we paid, I think it was $730,000 in 3 months to this team, that they must have got paid for sleeping, too, because they were dreaming about it. But when you're paying somebody $450 an hour, they're not going to buck the system. They want more work, not less work. So
we're going to get volunteers to do the work, right?
Yeah. And what we'll do is, because you got smart people, I would love if there was some magical way we could get the first 100 people out there that are listening to you right now. You'll find that you got people who understand how to fix tractors and plumbers, people who do things with their head, and they have a very mechanical outlook on life. But you also got English professors and doctors and lawyers and all sorts of things. In the group, you have brains, and that's what we need. I mean, you have perspective, you have experience. What you don't want is a couple people calling the shots, and that's what you have in state government.
I guess my final question to you, Curtis, is before I let you make a statement here, is it going to be able to be changed on your watch? You've spent 4 years. I know you want to go back for four more. I'm not sure you want to go four more after that.
Oh, I can tell you, I don't want to go four after that. I'll be 60 if I get through retirement. But I think it is. Well, here's the thing. I had to make the decision. Was I going to play politics or was I going to be a reformer? I don't have a staff of politicians working for me. So many people do. They have spin doctors, they call them. They have, their chief of staff is nothing but a politician. I told my chief of staff, who's a gruff, who I've got a new one now, who was a gruff guy when I hired him, always has been, a very impressive guy. I said, if I catch you talking politics or playing politics, you're out the door. This is all business. So we haven't sold what we've done. It's like the investment commission. People have no idea the rapid change. I mean, the rapid change we've made. They had 7 or 8 years to make big changes, and they didn't. So I put them on the front page of the paper. It was hard on me, and it was hard on them. But they made more change in those 2 years than they made in the whole 7 years before. And your money is safer. Not exactly where I want to be yet, but I'm going to keep working on them. Of course, they're going to keep working on me, too. But, you know, you just have to be faithful. And I do think at some point you get lucky. At some point you get lucky. And after this election, when things slow down, I don't have a fall of somebody to run against me in the fall. I'm going to keep talking about issues and inject them into the election because I want the candidates out there talking about it. Get on record. We need to fund properly our Ethics Commission and change those laws. We need to fund properly the state auditor and all these other things. We know what to do. We just hadn't done it. And that's what
I'm
going to
do. You've got to have courage of your convictions, right?
The next 4 years, I am not going to be 70 hours a week in my office. I may be out talking, speaking. I'm going to get my message right. I mean, not just off the cuff like we are here. I came straight. I had 5 meetings this morning. I drove down here myself and, you know, hopped out of the car and had 5 minutes before we started here. So, yeah, I am going to stop and get the message right and to make sure the people of South Carolina know the problems and they can help design the solution. Because we need to. What you do for the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you do for me. And we have a working class population that needs help.
And you know, it really almost has to start at the bottom, doesn't it, Curtis?
It does.
Yeah, it does. It's not going to start at the top and work down. It has to start at the bottom and work up.
But see, the poor taxpayer is beaten so many times, or maybe just even just sitting there, beaten before they get out of bed. The nastier politicians who make it, the more they turn people off, the less people that vote, that means the more control they have. I mean, they've thought about this. There's 100 ways that these guys can beat you before you get out of bed in the morning, before you have your first cup of coffee.
Some days I feel like that, Curtis.
Yep. I know. It's because they control the information. They control the staff. They control so much. We just... Did you keep up with, like, the nullification debate in the House? I mean, in the Senate? Or the beat back Obamacare stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That stuff was never going to pass. And I'm for all that. I mean, I think Obamacare is a terrible thing. But that's not the point here. The powers that be want those conversations because those conversations keep them from talking about important things.
Absolutely.
So,
I agree then.
So some of the people go in there and talk about what are the same social issues that has taken so much of our time since I've been alive? Abortion, unions, gay marriage now. I mean, mm-hmm. You know, do you have a problem in Greenwood with gay marriage? I mean, you know, it's just these aren't problems in
right.
The real world. What we have a problem with in Greenwood is there aren't enough jobs, the roads aren't good enough, that the you know, we pay too much for some of the services we shouldn't have to. We know we've got problems with our DSS down here. We've got real problems. And I'm not saying those social issues aren't important. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, they're all driven by special interest.
Sure.
You think, oh, I've got a great idea about gun control, and I'm an NRA member, lifetime, and all that stuff. But here's the important thing about that. They're making millions in New York and Washington and wherever all these special 501c3, these special interests are. They're making millions of dollars out there. They're lobbyists who run these organizations, and they literally will make $1 million or $2 a year off of making us be worried about things.
Sure.
So it's a great opera. And they want us to watch the opera. They don't want us to watch what's happening. And what's happening is they keep taking our money. They keep taking our opportunities. And that hurts us. It hurts our kids. It hurts grandkids.
Sure.
And so we've got to do better. And that's the conversation we've got to have going forward.
All right. Well, Curtis Loftus, you are running for state treasurer. You want to maintain, keep that office at least 4 more years here.
That's right. I hope if I live that long, I'll be there.
Okay. All right. Well, you got 2 minutes to wrap this up. What would you like to say to our listeners?
Well, Ann, I am glad. It is always good to be down here, and I always feel solicitous about this, but this is a great part of the state. It's a part of the state I knew was here, and I've been here, but I wasn't all that aware of. It's beautiful. The people are great. Some of the people I've met in politics and in government and from down this way are some of the best. So I love Greenwood. I love this part of the. But this whole Savannah River is kind of a, the valley is kind of a neglected place. Nobody knows it's over here. The road structures aren't adequate. We haven't had enough state investment in the schools and things. And so there's
I think the problem is we get so much down on the coast, and it's the whole upstate that really suffers.
That's right, and especially this part. But there's a lot to do, and I am faithful. I did come in kind of, I was kind of in a bad mood. I just, as you know, I've had some not good morning on some of these meetings. It's the same old stuff, trying to get state government to be open and transparent, trying to get people to be honest, trying to get people not to make things up.
Mm-hmm.
So it's difficult, but I am faithful. I do believe that we can turn the corner. I think that we just have to fight it, and we have to let them go. I'm prepared. I don't care what they say about me, and man, they say it. I just don't care because I know what I'm doing. I know what I have to do. I was raised in an old-fashioned home. I know when somebody's telling me a tale. I mean, I get it the first time, but I'm a pretty quick learner. And I've been in government 4 years now, and I can smell a scam and a swindle a mile away. And we stop them a lot. We make people do well. It doesn't end up in the papers. Who's going to admit it? We're not going to start talking about it. You know, it's not like it's some crime scene on TV. But it's the constant pressure that people know you're going to have to do right. You're going to have to do well. You can't just make things up. You can't pull the wool over the people anymore. And my race is going to be incredibly nasty the last 2 weeks, and I know that. I know that third parties are going to spend a lot of money. There's money from out of state. There's Wall Street money lined up. But I don't care what they say because I know what I'm doing is right, and I'm gonna keep marching forward. And I believe the Lord gave us all the right to discernment. We all know the right from wrong. We know good from evil, and I think people just get it. And so let them do their best, and whatever the people decide, I'm okay with it because I've done my best.
Absolutely. So I guess you'd like to ask them for their vote.
I'd love to have their vote. I need every one of them. I mean, and I need your mama and your grandmama's vote.
That's right. All right. Well, Curtis Loftus, always a pleasure to have you on the show.
Great to see you.
Be able to sit down and see you face to face.
Thank you very much. Very nice to be here.
All right. That's going to do it for us. This is WCRS. Bye-bye, everybody.